Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, looking at this morning, the day the world stopped. The day the world stopped. Matthew 24. And we'll begin in verse 32. And Brother John, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Amen. Matthew 24 and verse 32. Matthew 24, 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is what? Near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also what? Ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. What would it take to stop the world? This thought came to me again. Around Christmas time, I said to my wife, I said, look at town. Everything, just the parking lots were empty. And it seemed like the whole world had stopped. And it was Christmas Day. The whole world just about stops for a day to think about the Lord Jesus and his birth, even though a lot of people scoff at him and that he even existed. But what would it take to stop the world? Would it take a giant nuclear bomb? This week I was reading about Yellowstone National Park and the geysers out there, and they said, I think it was last year, the ground rose out there by 5 inches. And they say they described that as one of the, if not the most, active, dangerous volcano in the world. And they said if Yellowstone ever goes, that volcano, because of its size, that they estimated like 3/4, I believe, of the United States would be devastated by it. Not just from the blast, but from the ash. They talked about in other places where large volcanoes erupt and just the feet of ash that it leaves behind. So what would it take to stop the world? A giant nuclear bomb or the world's biggest volcano? What would it take to close every business in the world? A giant strike? What would it take to stop every business in the world? To put them out of business? What would it take for every country in the world to close its borders? What would it take? Every country of the world to stop allowing anyone to come into their country. What would it take for every state in the United States to close their borders and not allow people from any other state to pass through? What would it take? You may say, I have no idea what what it would take for all of those things to take place. What could it be? I talked to Brother Wall last evening. Their daughter Helen is scheduled for her surgery on the 6th, Lord willing, of next month. And they are in South Carolina, and their daughter is in Ohio. And they wanted to come up for the surgery, but they learned that in Ohio right now, if you are driving through Ohio and you do not have an Ohio driver's license plate, you better have a letter evidencing your need to be in Ohio, or you get a ticket. If you don't have an Ohio license plate and you're driving through there, you need a letter with you stating that your visit there is essential, or you got a ticket. So basically, Ohio has closed their border to anyone passing through, except of the utmost importance. I was also reading about Rhode Island, the governor of Rhode Island. And I read the National Guard in Rhode Island, I believe it was yesterday, is starting to go door to door in Rhode Island looking for people from New York. And if they find you, you are going to be quarantined for 2 weeks. Can you imagine that? They are going door to door, the National Guard, looking for people from New York. The governor doesn't want anyone from New York and her state unless they are isolated and under quarantine. Who would have ever thought that would have ever come to pass? They're also pulling over people in Rhode Island if they have a New York license plate, and the same thing goes into effect. They don't want them there, and they are ready to arrest them for people who will not cooperate. The only thing I've ever heard of anything like that happening is in New York, in Europe. In Europe, you know, some of those countries are not all that large, but years ago it was that way. You could not pass from one country to another in Europe without papers, without a good reason to pass through, or you'd be denied. And the same thing is happening here. Why? Well, the reason for all the things I've mentioned is because there is a pestilence going across the world. What is a pestilence? Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary defines a pestilence as a contagious or infectious epidemic disease. And that's what coronavirus is, a contagious or infectious epidemic disease. The world calls it a virus, the pestilence we are facing. They call it a virus, coronavirus, COVID-19. And I began to think, how big was this thing that seemed to stop the world that we're facing right now? So I looked on Mayo Clinic's website, and they said that viruses are smaller than cells. It goes on to say, in fact, viruses are basically just capsules that contain genetic material. To reproduce, viruses invade cells in your body, hijacking the machinery that makes the cells work. And end quote. That's from Mayo Clinic. And I thought, well, so a virus is smaller than a cell. I thought, that still doesn't tell me how big a virus is. So I kept searching. And this was from another site dealing with air filters. And it said, scientists have measured the size of the coronavirus, COVID-19, or particles. And it said the smallest particles are 0.06 microns. And the largest are 0.14 microns. So they said they have, under a telescope, have measured the size of coronavirus particles, which are smaller than a cell. The smallest one they found is 0.06 microns. The largest is 0.14 microns. Well, then my question is, might be your same question, how big is a micron? Well, so I had to look that up. reference.com. A micron is short for micrometer, which is 1/1,000,000th of a meter. Well, that really doesn't do me much help because I wasn't trained in school for metric system. Okay, I guess the word was almost right there, wasn't it? It goes on to say 1/1,000,000th of a meter. The size is approximately equivalent to 0.00004 inches. Well, for Brother Johnson, this might make sense, but I'm in the construction realm, not in the tool and die realm. So in the construction realm, you don't measure a 2x4 by, would you go cut that 16 and 3/1,000ths of an inch? What we would say is, would you cut that 16 and a big half inches? Or 17 and 3/4 and a hair? There's all kinds of lingo that carpenters get among themselves. Like, okay, do you want it a big 3/4? Might mean a 16th over 3/4. But instead of counting out all the 16ths, you're just going to say, cut it a big 3/4. Okay, 16th bigger. If it's a hair, maybe it is a 32nd. Okay, and that's about as detailed as we get, you know. So this is kind of Greek to me, all this. But it goes on to say that this size is approximately equivalent to 0.00004 inches, which means there are approximately 25,000 microns in an inch. Okay, now I got it. You got a tape measure, there's an inch. A micron, there'd be 25,000 microns in an inch. Now, that'd be a few too many lines to put on a tape measure, wouldn't it? 25,000 lines between 1 and 2 inches. No way to do it. It'd just be a solid black line. You can't do it. Now, young people wish that there would be tape measures like that, though. You know, young people always want to be taller. And so, you know, they look at, you know, you get measured, and But if it could be in microns, you know, you could say, hey, I grew 3,000 microns in the last few months. And, wow, you must be as tall as Goliath now, huh? Well, that's a little less than an eighth of an inch. 3,000 microns, a little less than an eighth of an inch. Or if you're trying to lose weight, it'd be great to have a tape measure measured in microns. Because you could say, wow, you know, I lost 6,000 microns around my waist. Wow, how did you do it? Well, that's about 1/4 inch. Okay, so that's great, but it sounds a lot more impressive if you could say, I lost 6,000 microns around my waist this week. Wow, what did you eat? So a human hair is about 75 microns in diameter. So a human hair. The largest coronavirus that they have measured is 0.14. So that means if you place the largest coronavirus particle side by side, if you line them here on the pulpit, the largest coronavirus particles side by side, it would take 536 of them to be the width of a human hair. Imagine. And that's the largest coronavirus particle. But just pull out one of your hair and try to imagine putting 536 things across the width of that hair, and just one 536 is the largest particle of coronavirus that they have measured. So think of how tiny that is. The width of one hair, just one 536 of the width of that hair. That is what is about stop the world. Think of that. So that small is what, something that small is what has just about stopped the whole world. Our booming economy to halt. What did it? One 536 of a width of a hair did it. To bring our government over $6 trillion more in debt. What happened? What did it? Something 1/536 the width of a hair. did it? What has shut down every college and public school and private school in America? Something as small as 1/536 the width of a human hair. What has shut down almost every flight going overseas and a lot of flights between states? Something that's only the width of 1/536 of a human hair. What has caused many governors to write executive orders, stay at home? Something the size of 1/536 the width of a human hair. That's what has done it all. The government of Israel is now meeting when they have their sessions. They are meeting in nuclear-proof bunker, a secret nuclear-proof bunker. They are meeting. Not because they are afraid of Hamas or someone else bombing them, although that's always a great concern, but they are meeting down there because their prime minister is trying to protect their ruling leaders against something that is 1/536 the width of a human hair. They are trying to escape the coronavirus in that nuclear-proof bunker right now. Our church sign out front on the west side reads, "Coronavirus Cure Bible, 2 Chronicles 7:13-14. Let's look at that a moment. 2 Chronicles 7:13-14. Coronavirus Cure Bible, 2 Chronicles 7:13-14. Verse 13 says, "If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send what? Pestilence." That's what coronavirus is. Contagious, infectious disease. Epidemic disease. If I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall what? Humble themselves and what? Pray and what? Seek my face and what? Turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will what? Heal their land. How many of you think our land needs to be healed? Yes. A woman called this week, and the answering machine left the message. She said she's a member of our community, and that she doesn't agree with our radical views. And her issue was, is that sign, which says coronavirus cure, Bible, 2 Chronicles 7:13-14. She's afraid that someone may, because of our sign, not seek medical help. And she's calling our view radical view to say that in the Bible we can find the coronavirus cure. Well, let me ask you this question. Does man have a cure for coronavirus? No. Man is trying to work furiously to find something, but no. Man does not have the cure for coronavirus. So, let me ask you a question. Verse 14 says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves." Is it radical to humble ourselves before Almighty God? I mean, are we considered terrorists, terrorist variety, because we are advocating for all of mankind to humble themselves before Almighty God? Is that radical? Well, if that's radical, we need more of it in our land. It goes on. Humble themselves and pray. Is it radical to encourage people to pray to Almighty God? Is that radical? Well, then we need a lot more radical people in America, because we need a lot more prayer. The third thing, is it radical to seek God's face? Well, then we need a lot more radical people, because we need people that will be seeking God's face. What does it mean to seek God's face? It's to seek His approval. Well, we can't have his approval if we're not even saved, because we're under condemnation. We're under sin. We're condemned. Is it radical for people to turn from their wicked ways? It's just unbelievable, isn't it? That sign, coronavirus cure, Bible, 2 Chronicles 7:13 and 14. God says here, if there's no rain, if the locusts are devouring the land, if there's a pestilence, we are facing a pestilence. India, Iran, on into China, through Saudi Arabia have faced locusts, a locust plague. Plus, India is shut down right now its borders because of coronavirus. Is it radical to encourage people to seek the Lord? You ask me something radical? I read an article about what they're doing in India. You know, in India with Hinduism and their worship of animals, in particular the cow. Do you know what many in India are advocating doing as a coronavirus cure? Drinking cow urine. Does that sound radical? I think so. But to people of the politically correct liberal view, would they think that sounds more reasonable than humbling ourselves before Almighty God? I tell you, this woman's call just shows us how radical our country is against Almighty God. That's what this shows us. Notice in Isaiah 5:20, we have everything exactly backwards in this country because we are so far away from God. To call a church and complain about that on the sign just shows us how we have so many people shaking their fist against God. Well, do you know what all these things are doing? The coronavirus, the locust plague, the water in many different rivers is turned red. Do you know what this is showing us? That there is an Almighty God. He is the Creator, and we are going to answer to Him one day. Isaiah 5, verse 20. What's the first word? Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. To call a church and to complain and be afraid that some people might die because we put on our sign coronavirus cure, and that we need to humble ourselves before Almighty God. We need to seek His face. We need to turn from our wicked ways. We need to pray. Let me tell you something. The same God who created us has the cure for coronavirus. The Bible that specifically says in 2 Chronicles 7:13 and 14 that if we see a pestilence come, we are to humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways and look to Him to heal our land. Who is it in our community that we are hurting by praying to God? Who is it in our community that we are hurting by encouraging them to repent of their sin and turn to God? You know, the bars are closed down now. But you know what I saw? There's a lot of people with a lot of time on their hands. You know what I saw coming out of the grocery store? A lot of people carrying those big cardboard containers of cans and cans and cans of what? Beer. Sitting in their homes, getting intoxicated because they don't have the answer. Is the church essential in these days? More than ever, it's essential. Man needs some hope. Man needs some help. Notice with me in Daniel 5. Daniel chapter 5. I pray for this woman. Don't know her name. I pray that she might get saved. Because one day, if she does not, she's going to find out what is radical, and it's the exact opposite of what she thinks. Daniel 5:22. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against who? The Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand what? Thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. This woman has scoffed at the God of the universe. I pray that she might repent and get saved before it's too late. No doctor can help you get into heaven, only the Lord Jesus Christ. We look around the country and see where are the hot spots, and of course, that is growing day by day. But I found it very interesting, the first three hot spots, California, Washington, the state of Washington, and New York. Three states which very heavily promote abortion, and Pastor Jeremy hit on that in Sunday school today. How many millions? I don't know if you still have those figures handy, but pardon me? 9.9 million. That's this year? Just since January 1st, 9.9 million babies have been aborted. Just think of the staggering comparison to coronavirus, that is. It was January of last year, 2019, that the governor of New York signed a bill to expand abortion to the third trimester, right up until birth. And I saw the picture, and I refreshed it again. The governor of New York is sitting at a wooden desk signing this with a big smile on his face, and there are mostly women and one man. The women have big smiles on their face. One of those women was the lawyer that went Roe versus Wade in 1973 to the Supreme Court to bring about legalized abortion. She was there. He's signing a bill to allow abortion right up until birth. And they're all big smiling, and he's signing the bill, and it's like New York signs the most sweeping legislation in favor of abortion right up until birth. And it was like, okay, you people from other states that are more strict about abortion, that's okay, just come to New York and you can have an abortion any time you want. The governor claimed the issue was a matter of equality, comparing it to his efforts for marriage equality. Well, we know where that is. Man and man, woman and woman getting married. They passed that. And also, it goes on to say, the legislation also removes protections for babies who survived attempted abortions. So that legislation also made it so even a baby that survives an abortion, well, you know, it's like the doctor, now governor, in, is it Virginia? That was his statement. Well, a botched abortion. A botched abortion to them, it means that you deliver a living baby. Well, the doctor says, well, what do you do then? Well, that's between the doctor and the parents. What? Whether the baby lives is between the doctors and the parents? Well, that seems like you're murdering a baby, doesn't it? Oh, not in their eyes. Innocent blood. Notice with me in Numbers 35. Do you know what? They're not smiling in New York right now. Numbers 35. Numbers 35. The sad thing is how many innocent people die because of wicked leaders' decisions. There's a lot of innocent people right now in New York dying from coronavirus because of wicked leaders' decisions. Numbers 35:33 says, So ye shall what? Not pollute what? The land wherein ye are. For what? Blood. It what? Defileth the land, and the land cannot be what? Cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by what? The blood of him that shed it. Wow, that's quite a picture. You're all smiles in signing this legislation into law that babies can be murdered in the womb right up until birth, and even after birth. Nobody's gonna prosecute you if you decide it's a botched abortion and you want to finish the child off. Nobody's gonna prosecute you. And oh, they're all smiles over it. Yeah, equality. Equality just like for sodomy. What does God say about these things? God says right here that innocent blood that is shed in the land defiles a land. And the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. What do you think now, Mr. Governor? What do you say now when the blood is being shed in your state? You're crying out for help from our president. You can't understand why other states are closing their borders. You can't understand why people in neighboring states are going door to door looking for New Yorkers. Why? Mr. Governor, the reason is because you signed that paper. You didn't care about the blood of innocent babies. And now the blood is being shed in New York like no other place at this point. Notice with me in Leviticus 18. Leviticus 18. There's something else that defiles a land that our country is not getting. Leviticus 18:22. The Bible says, thou shalt not lie with who? Mankind as with who? Womankind. It is what? Abomination. Who says it's abomination for a man to lie with man? Who says it's an abomination for a woman to lie with woman? I'll tell you who says it. God, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of mankind. That's who says it's an abomination. And people say, well, that's just too bad what he thinks. No, it's not too bad for him. It's too bad for you. Notice in verse 28, verse 27. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is what? Defiled. Well, that sounds like Numbers 35:33, doesn't it? The land's defiled. The land's polluted. Verse 28. That the land what? Spew not you out also, when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. Jump back to verse 25. And the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself, what? Vomiteth out her inhabitants. What is happening? Who would have ever dreamed that in our lifetimes, like America would be shut down, its borders sealed, and even from state to state, the borders sealed. Who would have ever dreamed it? What big thing did it take? All it took was one thing, one 536-inch width of a hair. One 536 part of the width of one human hair. Something that tiny. That's all it took. And let me tell you something. These people that mock at God, if something that's only 536 the width of a human hair, if that can stop our nation, can bankrupt our nation, can stop every other nation and bankrupt every other nation, what do you think people are going to do when they face Almighty God? They can't even handle something 536 the width of a human hair. What are they going to do when they face Almighty God? They're in big trouble. Notice in Galatians 6:7. Galatians 6:7. Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived.
Who?
God. God is what? Not mocked. Oh, you may shake your fist at him today. You may sign all kinds of pieces of legislation decreeing any ungodly, wicked, murderous thing you want to. But let me tell you something. One day, you're going to stand before God. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You pour innocent blood into your ground, and you're going to seal your fate. That innocent blood is going to be shed all over your ground. You do something that is an abomination to God, like sodomy, you mark it down. You're not getting away with anything. You are going to face Almighty God someday. Notice in Revelation 9, the fact of the matter is we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg. God is very gracious at what he is doing right now. You know why? Because this coronavirus is nothing compared to the pestilences that are going to smite this earth in the tribulation period. Revelation 9:18. This is just a taste of it. Revelation 9:18. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads. And with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet what? Repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which can neither can see nor hear nor talk, neither what? Repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. They didn't repent of their murders. How many abortion clinics are still open and working despite the non-essential order, still shedding innocent blood? Notice verse 18. Verse 18, by these three was the what? Third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. The third part of men. In the tribulation period, pestilence is going to come, which is going to kill a third of the people on earth. Coronavirus, this is only a tiny taste of what is coming. The sad thing is even during this, a third part of the people killed upon earth. And it says in verse 20, the men repented not. And in verse 21, they repented not. They still went on in their sin. And that's what's happening today. And that's what this phone call is all about. People shaking their fist at God. What should we do in return? Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for this woman that she would turn from her radical ungodly views and repent and humble herself before Almighty God. What should we do for some of these governors who are so bloodthirsty against babies and against Christians? Somewhere else I read, someone did a piece, it might have been in the New York Times, I forget, but blaming Christians for coronavirus. Blaming us. Well, we know from the pure Word of God, which we heard about in Sunday school, we know from the pure Word of God what causes things like this. It's wickedness. It's abomination. It's sin. The good news is, let's go back to 2 Chronicles 7. 2 Chronicles 7, verses 13 and 14. There is good news. Once again, in 2 Chronicles 7:13, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I what? Hear from heaven. You know what? We don't deserve that. We don't deserve for God to hear our prayers. But he says he will. And will what? Forgive their sin. We don't deserve forgiveness of sin. How can God grant forgiveness to us? who have been so vile and so wicked. I tell you why. Because Jesus, the Son of God, God Almighty in the flesh, was born of a miraculous virgin birth. He lived a perfect life, and then He died on the cross, bearing our sin in His own body on the tree. The wages of sin is death, and Jesus paid the wage, death, for us. But it couldn't hold Him down because His payment was enough. And He rose back up out of the grave victorious, proving that His blood was enough. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When we repent of our sin, we turn from our sin to Him, it doesn't mean us cleaning up ourselves, because we can't clean up ourselves. But it means a desire. We have to turn from our sin to Him. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. If we're willing to repent and turn to Him in faith, He will save us. And after that, we need to follow Him in believers' baptism and live for Him. That's the first thing we should do after we get saved, is to follow Jesus in baptism. Going under the water pictures death to the old life of sin. Coming up out of the water pictures a new life in Christ. We need to live for God. May God speak to our hearts individually and the heart of this nation. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us in these days not to be intimidated by the radical, ungodly crowd. They're only heaping more and more judgment upon themselves. Lord, I pray that You would help us. We need Your protection, because when the wicked are judged, it always involves many innocent people too. Father, I pray that You would help us. Lord, if there are any here this morning who have never been saved, help them to realize that time is running out. We don't have forever to make that decision. One day it'll be too late. One day it'll be too late. As Christians, one day it's going to be too late to serve You, because time is going to be over. It's going to be too late. All those things we thought we wanted to do, it's going to be too late. Father, please speak to our hearts in this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to 100.